world's largest brewer, AB InBev, has beat second quarter earnings expectations, delivering a near 10% rise in EBITDA, boosted by beer sales growth, growing at its fastest pace in over 5 years. Joining me on the line now for some analysis of the group's numbers is Nico van Stackelberg from Liberum, while Craig Pfeiffer from Absa Stockbrokers and Portfolio Management is still with me at the desk as well. Nico, thanks so much for joining our conversation this evening. So as I say, we've had AB InBev's second quarter earnings beating forecasts, achieving its best sales volume performance in 5 years, but it still seems pretty tepid growth at 2.1%. To what extent do we read beyond that headline number?
Well, what really matters is the profitability that comes out of the firm at the end of the day. So investors are looking for a company that can show top-line growth, and particularly volume growth, in light of some of the structural trends they face. But provided that cash is still coming through and the EBITDA is still growing, investors are quite happy with the results.
Absolutely. As you say, overall bottom line net profit rising by 14%, with strong performances coming through in many of its key markets at this stage of the game. Your reading of the muscle it's operating within these markets, Nico, and whether its decision to focus on premium brands is paying off to the extent it thought it would.
Absolutely. The high-end company grew nearly 20%. And global brands grew 8% in total, with 11.3% growth outside of their home market. So that trend continues. Beer globally, consumers are willing to trade up into better quality brews, and that trend continues. It's structural, unlikely to go away. What does that mean for consumers? Well, they'll probably have a better tasting beer in their hand. And for the brewers, they'll have a bit more profits in the bank, as these are higher margin products.
Absolutely. Improved margins at those premium brands is a key characteristic there. I've got to ask, though, is this performance AB InBev's put on the table enough to justify it aborting its plans to list in Hong Kong earlier this month, Nico, where valuation of that listing was a major bone of contention?
Well, it's a little bit different. So what happened here was they basically were not getting the price that they wanted, and so they were prudent to step away from that transaction because effectively they would have destroyed some value in the process. Now, as it comes to Australia, that's already been announced. They basically have decided to sell that asset, which is quite a mature market, and it may have even held back the IPO valuation, because it is a large, mature market, but the growth isn't there. So, investors don't pay up as much. So given that they are selling that asset, if they go back to the market with an IPO, the multiple of that business, excluding Australia, is going to be worth a lot more, given the growth trajectory.
Yeah. And Nico, I've got Craig Pfeiffer in studio with me, and I'm going to hand over to him. He's got a quick question for you, Craig.
Yes, hi, Nico. I think just following on from the Australian story, we're selling off those assets to raise some cash, reduce the net debt, and the company's indicated that an ideal space is a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 2x, and this they just reduced marginally now in this last quarter, but the Australian sales should help them, I don't know, another 30 or 40 basis points. Are we selling the crown jewels? Is there something more that we'll see, some more asset sales there? Or how do we progress from here to get from four and a bit to two?
Well, there is a degree of just natural deleveraging in the business. As they are highly cash generative, they will pay down their debts. Now, that being said, the Wall Street Journal reported that the South Korean subsidiary is also on the block to be sold, as well as to smaller Middle America's market, Honduras and Guatemala. So, we are likely to see more asset sales. Paying down debt is a worthwhile pursuit because at the end of the day, the cost of equity has inflated to some extent given the leverage position. So as they come down in debt, that cost of equity should come down and the valuation should rise in theory. So, look, at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do to shore up the balance sheet. And frankly, they basically admitted on the call today that the growth from some of these very mature markets isn't exactly there. So it's better to be in the higher growth geographies if you're talking about valuation. And, of course, you want markets with rising per capita consumption and rising number of people. And mature markets like Australia just aren't as attractive in that regard.
Let's leave it there. Nico, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Nico van Stackelberg from Liberum. And Craig, thank you for staying with us at the desk. Craig Pfeiffer is with Absa Stockbrokers and Portfolio Management.